me and Stevie Nicks the cat had a big long time this morning.
I like that you define not just Stevie Nicks.
And, you know, we were sitting around listening to some records, and, you know, then I was just like, God damn it, I got to do something useful around here. And it's like yesterday, like, it was the same thing, sitting around.
Oh, shit, yesterday you made bread and everything.
Yesterday I was like, let's, like, clean the house and then bake some bread. Like, that's what I did
to
try and feel useful. And then I was just like, you know, I really could do with giving the tile shower thing a real good scrub on that tile. I could do with that.
You're not toothbrush and grout, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. And
I need to do that, too. God, I hate doing that.
I was just like,
I don't mind the toothbrush and grout. It's the cleaning of the general area that I don't like. Give me that stupid, intricate job. I'll do that forever.
Toilet, filthy. I'm just, like, stunned. Like, you know, I was just like, come on, Stevie, let's do the whole shower thing. And then it's like I get in there and do the brush and all that kind of crap and the bleach and everything all over the place. And she's just staring and staring and staring. And, like, I've got this, like, new cat communication thing with her where I'm doing, like, you know, the cat stuff to make her more
cat-like. What are you trying to do? You know, you can't mold a cat into what you want them to be, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like the same.
You're not Siegfried or Roy.
It's well, like that didn't work out well for one of them.
You're right.
It's like the same thing you do with girlfriends. You know, you condition them.
It doesn't work on cats. It doesn't necessarily work on girlfriends either, actually.
Well, I just have a natural inclination to, like, condition people or things or animals to obedience. And so I can't stop it. It has to happen.
Agreed. Most of your marriages are based on Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like
most of his relationships. Period.
Yeah, I mean, like we let him in.
We're locked in a room. We are locked in a room with him, willingly.
Oh my God!
This is Stockholm syndrome right here.
Dude, what's worse is people actually press a button and make this happen.
My girlfriend now, like, has it, like, on speed dial in her brain. Stop doing the voice, Rupert. I know what you're doing. Stop it. And she will say that to me. And I'm like, oh, you're catching on.
Now you need to change the voice.
Luke, I'm your father. And so, yeah, then, like, I got done with
it. I actually rewatched that trilogy this week.
I got done with it, and then it was just like, well, we had a good time in the bathroom spraying the water all over the place and everything, and, you know. And I was just like, well, I'm sorry, I'm sort of done with that, I gotta go. And she's just like, oh my God, we're not gonna go back on the couch and do some cuddle time stuff, and
that's called guilt trip. Really,
yeah,
that is a huge guilt trip.
Tripping me. She was totally just, I felt bad.
You hear this pining meow as you're walking out the door, meow.
I get that all the time walking out my door, but that's because there's that weird-ass porch cat.
Well, see, the thing of it is like, my relationship with my cat is not the longest relationship I've ever had with another living being.
It's probably one of the healthiest.
But it is the longest relationship I've had with another living being where it's as good as the first day. I'm like, wow, I'm kind of not getting tired of you. That's, like, pretty amazing. Huh. I think because it starts on a basis of she ain't no good with anything around the house.
Yeah.
And it starts on that basis.
Whereas, yeah, you understand she's never going to cook. She's never going to do the laundry.
Yeah, whereas
this,
like,
is going down a path we've decided not to go down very often.
Yeah. My other relationships are a constant bemoaning of, would you please either do the laundry, cook dinner, or clean the house? Pick one, I'll do the other two. And it never happens. It never happens.
You have one goal with Stevie Nicks. Well, two, actually. Cuddle and make it to the litter box.
Yeah, right?
I'll change the litter box.
I do my part with the litter box, and she does her part with the litter box, and it works like a dream.
Yeah.
Never has this happened with another human, where it's just like, I will cook dinner, you clean the house, or I will clean the house and you cook dinner.
I've known some of your other humans, and they're all potty trained.
But he was still cleaning the toilet.
I was still cleaning the toilet.
All right.
So I guess in that one, because with copious amounts of liquor, you don't always make it to the toilet.
I think my relationship of female to male friends on Facebook is about 70 to 30. Like twice as many women friends, and they're always bitching about women do all the housework, cooking and cleaning and child rearing and stuff. And I was like, could you introduce me to these women?
That's because you don't date your friends, I guess.
I will give you a buck if you can introduce me to this person. Where are these women?
So, apparently. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen and everyone else listening, we are Ruined Heroes, a weekly free and self-produced podcast. Wherein the three of us... Do you want to see the topic, John? Okay. John and I are running a little ahead.
You've got some real prep work.
We're running a little ahead. Anyway, where the three of us irreverently discuss a topic of societal renown. I, Tyler, study like a guy who may have multiple Nobel Prizes. John...
What? How do Heinlein say it? It's 100 brains... Or it's 100 legs and no brains.
And Rupert.
Hey, truckers.
Oh, god damn. Please subscribe and leave good ratings and reviews on whatever podcast feed you get us through. It's free for you. It helps us with exposure and shit. To interact with us, we are ruinedheroespod@gmail.com, as well as easily found on Facebook and Twitter, where you get weekly hints. Say hi, take a guess, get involved in the conversation that was fun this week.
People were mad at me. They were angry with me.
I don't know why this shocks you.
I didn't. It shocks me when it's just out of the gate anger at me, and I haven't said jack. Although I think this, I could be totally wrong, but the episode you posted that generated this anger towards me, was it the first time you've posted an episode where you identify that
where
I was doing it?
It was the first time I told them.
Yeah,
because they were guessing like it was my topic.
Yeah,
I was like, no, you got to think out of the box here, buddy.
And then anger. It was like crazy. It was like the wrestling match throwdown thing. Oh, I'm gonna take him. I'm gonna turn him into a meatloaf. You know, it was just like
I like meatloaf.
I don't think it was anger. I think it was like fuck. Who knows what that guy thinks about? That's how I took it.
And then it was
really fun.
It was
a fucking
good, very prescient topic. I really
if
was
not
like
a little scattered.
I was like annoyed. I should listen to the topic because I don't know if what I wanted to convey came through.
I'm not certain. Anyway, to interact with us, we are ruinedheroespod@gmail.com as well as easily found on Facebook and Twitter where you get weekly hints. If you would like to subscribe or contribute to the cost of the show, you can subscribe at patreon.com/ruminedheroes and get extra content for just $1 a month, and there are upper tiers as well. Links are in the show notes as well as on our website, ruminedheroes.com, where you can also find older episodes. Thank you to those of you who do give and do participate.
I am surprised you still do.
What is with the horn?
I really appreciate those who contribute. It amazes me.
It's shocking.
But those that do contribute,
awesome. I love it.
It is artistic validation on a level that I take to the heart, which I'm sure is not conveyed through the electrons of this microphone.
This is our act of performative absurdism, and some people like to participate in it. I dig it. It's fun.
I really appreciate that anybody even listens to it, much less sends us a buck. I really appreciate it.
So you only get two intros this week.
Because
you best get it after these two intros.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it that obvious or something? Which means I'm not going to get it. I can't believe last week's episode where like that took me like four guesses to get something. I should have gotten on guess one. I blame myself.
I think our short break screwed up your guessing skills.
I think that's it.
You're just out of practice. Haven't thrown a shot put in a little while.
I haven't, picked up the cards.
So, the topic is based on the sovereign equality of its members. Disputes are to be settled by peaceful means. Members are to refrain from the threat or use of force in convention or in contravention of the purposes of the topic. Each member must assist the organization in any enforcement actions it takes under the charter and states that there are not members of the organization.
Wait.
That
can you rewind that states?
Thing? Yeah. And states that are not, or and states that are not members of the organization.
Wait.
That's where I fucked up. And states that are not members of the organization are required to act in accordance with these principles insofar as it is necessary to maintain international peace and security.
Is this my most hated organization in the world?
Probably. That's very close to what John said when I suggested it.
Was this organization featured in a Peter Sellers movie, The Pink Panther, where it disappears whilst a small miniature poodle pees on the corner of it? Did I live near this organization once?
Yes.
Yes to all of that. Would you like the second intro? Because like I said...
Is this the un? Are we doing the un?
We're undoing the un.
I hate this. I hate everything about this. I hate...
So we're off to a good start. This
isn't working out exactly like we planned.
So much. It's like...
I hope you only brought about 2 pages worth of notes because he's going to just lose his damn mind.
In all honesty, what it is it's the history of the establishment of it and nothing else because I knew I would have no time for anything else.
Okay.
It's only like 3 pages, maybe 3.2.
I mean, seriously, I think I like ISIS better than the UN. I truly can't stand this organization. A vast international scheme to get privileged parking in Manhattan. That's all it amounts to. That's it. They finally figured out a way. That's I mean,
all right. So
sources. That's when it got founded, when parking got bad in Manhattan, and it's just like, hey, let's figure out a way.
So sources.
That's all it's about. You can tell how this is going to go, folks.
UN. Sources are UN.org because it would, I'd probably end up in prison if I didn't use them. And they also have a decent amount of
information. Yeah, with prison, though.
Although part of their fucking site is not functional at all right now, which is...
Oh!
That was just too easy to go after, okay? Yeah. You lobbed that one right over the plate. You set that up as a T-ball. Man, that's like T-ball stuff.
They got this like whole history right up, and then they got these like click on important dates thing between 50 and 52, and 52 and 56, and that kind of shit, right? None of those fucking links work right now. So, anyway...
That's what happens when your flag is a fucking map.
So, again, UN.org... History.com, books.google.com/books. There's a whole fucking book that I read a bunch of.
And that was your problem, not mine.
I didn't read all of, but I read a handful of it.
And GiantRapeSquads.com. I think they're also a source.
Britannica.com. So after World War I... Many of the nations on the Allied side got together to form an organization focused on preventing another global mess like the war that just ended.
The Legacy of
Nations. After World War I, how well did that work out? Okay, because just a few years later, we had World War II.
Well, I don't know. We got almost a page on how well that worked out.
And then there's Korea, and then there's Vietnam, and then, oh my God, we've got all of this shit going on. Yeah, okay.
I think that was the Legacy of Nations, right?
Yes.
Woodrow Wilson founded.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's get everybody together based upon a Klansman. That's fantastic.
It worked really well for the South.
Well, I think that was all about trying to get parking permits in Paris, wasn't it? With that whole Versailles thing. It's getting hard to pick up a...
Park in the shade?
Yeah.
So they still got plenty of trees. That's good. You have to have a place to park your tanks.
I'm just stopping in for a baguette. Hey, I shouldn't have, you know, double parked.
So, focusing on human rights in the only way they could in the early 1900s, they aimed pretty high. The League of Nations, as it was named, was able to help countries communicate in a way that prevented war, but they were not as finely honed as they needed to be. And obviously, this is why we got World War II. The plan had clearly not worked and would not prevent such an issue as we'd hope.
When was the League of Superheroes created?
So seeing that the previous effort had not passed muster,
in August of 1941...
I should delve into the League of Nations. Did they reserve the right to kick people out?
I glanced over it because it was kind of historical entrance to it. It did not look like they could kick you out. It was like, once you were part of the club, you were part of the club, is what it looked like to me. I could be inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, I probably don't know. Did they let in every Tom, Dick, and Harry into the... I mean, because the League of Nations was around for such a short period of time that, like, the true corruption couldn't really fester.
They only let in non-communist countries in the League.
Ah, okay. So, yeah,
so not every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
There you go.
Just every Tom and Harry, no
there,
dicks.
There you go. Yeah.
So just like any other clique, any other club ever created everywhere in the world over history.
It's all the cool kids in
high
school.
We want our friends to be part of this club. And we're going to kick... When we play kickball at lunch, we're going to aim for the heads of the other people that are sitting over there in the bleachers. You know, the goth kids.
It's like throwing the tetherball at somebody's head. Yeah.
The only club I ever... Yeah.
No, it's more like cutting the tether ball off and throwing it at the kids in the corner hiding smoking.
We're one sentence in, and we're... I mean, I think we all hate this.
Yeah.
We all hate the League of Nations, right?
I'm not certain I loved even studying about this whole topic.
Do we all hate the UN?
Not proud of the big giant steamer that I'm leaving on the table right now.
It's the size of the ashtray.
I mean, seriously, like, the KISS Army has more legitimacy.
I would rather have the kids from Thurston High School go ahead and start doing it.
And for those of you wondering, yes, it's that Thurston High School. So August of 1941, Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill had a secretive meeting to discuss the possibility of replacing the League of Nations with an amended version of the group that could be more effective in preventing wars like the one they were currently in.
Those big fucking cigars that they were smoking, they actually got them from Cuba. And instead of being rolled in tobacco, they were rolled in weed. And they sat there in this office and they went, check this out, dude. Watch what we can do to fuck these people up.
Nah, Delano wasn't really a teetotaler, but he also wasn't a heavy drinker. Churchill, however... there was most certainly booze involved in this conversation because Churchill was like three quarts of gin a day kind of guy.
Both men were
the remix version.
Both men were the greatest men of their time, though.
They were.
Yeah,
I didn't agree with them. That doesn't mean agreement. That does mean they were the most statuesque, raven-esque men of their time.
Well, the fact that Roosevelt couldn't stand up, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
Contra Pasta.
Well, isn't there Stalin?
So, he's coming.
Nobody was saying Stalin was a great guy.
But he was one of the leaders of his era.
Stalin is coming soon.
That was our downfall, like, including these jokers. Fucking Mario Brothers Stalin? Are you fucking kidding me?
So, Roosevelt had already set up a group of planners in the U.S. and presented Churchill with the idea of the four policemen, is what he called it. The U.S., the U.K., the USSR, and China. These four horsemen...
Good cop, bad cop.
These four horsemen would lead the way towards peace.
The apocalypse!
Towards
peace and literally police the globe, is what they were talking about. The four horsemen, yeah. So the two of them came up with a declaration called the Atlantic Charter, outlining the goals of war, and which, if you're trying to make a peaceful organization, I don't know, interesting.
This sounds like the worst college group ever. It's like you've got two people that are on the same side saying, we're going to go ahead and we're going to invite the two bad kids, but we're going to make all the rules and let them live by them and see how well that goes.
Well,
who do you got on this? You got the U.S.
The U.K.
Yeah.
USSR.
Yeah.
And China.
Yeah.
Because somebody got to have something that's not abbreviated.
This is like a double date with the two...
Dude, it's like rodeo clowns.
It's like a double date where the two women or the two men pick one set. Half the set is undateable.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Or it was a dare.
So, well,
I don't know why the, I don't know why.
It does sound like it was a dare from Roosevelt, frankly.
I don't know why the USSR is included in this group.
Landmass.
Nuclear weapons.
Coming soon, yes.
But see, that's the thing, is like, all they had was landmass. This was backwater idiocy where they were a monarchy and all this kind of crap. They didn't have more people than anybody else. The Germans had a better sitch going on.
Speaking a bit out of timeline, it's quite probable that the UN is the reason that we had the fucking Cold War. So, just saying. But moving forward...
Wow, I think you might be right. I don't think I've ever said that phrase.
I don't think I've ever heard it from you.
I think you might be. Well, I mean, this is a new way of looking at it. Very, very interesting. I hope you have.
I touch on it a little bit later. Not much. That's just my theory.
I think you just might have made this topic fucking digestible for him.
You just thong teased me there. You had like a great take on it. A great take that I hadn't considered.
Thong with the tramp stamp and the low cut
jean. Into it. All right, so
next thing you know,
I don't do anal. These two guys who are, as we said, like the captains of the world at this point in time, come up with a declaration, the Atlantic Charter, outlining the goals of some of the things they wanted to see in the new organization. Perhaps partly due to this meeting, in December of that year, the U.S. joined the Allied forces against Germany. So again, this is my own theories, but I think it wasn't just the bombing in Hawaii. I think partially because he wanted to show, you know, some loyalty to Churchill, because we weren't in a war yet.
Wait, what? Okay.
So they had this meeting, right? It was just in December when, Japan bombed Pearl Harbor.
Wait, what's this meeting called?
It was a secretive meeting. Like, it was not... Nobody knew what was going on.
The four idiots.
Yeah.
Had this secret meeting...
No, just the two idiots. Yeah,
just
two
idiots. FDR and Churchill.
Churchill and FDR, yeah.
They had this meeting about...
About planning the new... What is going
the
to be
The new world
the,
order.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
Fucking A. All right, Mr. Jorgensen.
I don't know.
So anyway,
prior to World War II and prior
to... Well, no, it's in 1941, prior to U.S. involvement in World War II.
Okay, so in 40...
World War II is happening, but the U.S. is still holding bay. We're like, nobody's touched us yet. But, and I mean, frequently when you look at when the U.S. got involved in World War II, it was right after Pearl Harbor, and that was retaliation
I think at that point we were sending humanitarian supplies, weren't we?
I don't know that we were. I don't know that we were.
We might have had the Lend-Lease program with the UK, but I'm not sure.
But I think that some of it wasn't just the bombing of Pearl Harbor. I think that maybe this meeting was like FDR thinking this is how we look cool to the UK kids.
Well, FDR wanted to get involved in World War II.
What was good for industry?
Yeah. Well, he needed a reason. Yeah. And I think when he went and he was talking to Churchill, he was hoping to come up with a reason that was going to be sufficient for poking his nose over there, because the way of the people would have taken it here, it's like, hey, nobody's fucking with us. Why should we do it?
Right. We're the other side of the planet. Leave us.
And then the Japanese just decided that, hey, you know what?
It's just a short jaunt across the ocean. We can bomb all that shit.
And when the Japanese said, hey, you know, we can solve this problem for you, FDR was like, hey, you know what? Hey, Churchy. That thing we were talking about?
The interlocking of the times is interesting to me. And that's kind of where I came up with that.
Yeah, 41 is, is round numbers 20 years past World War I.
Yeah.
And so see Ukraine for the mood at that time in the United States.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, the poor Ukraine right now. Anyhow. Yeah.
Or see Rwanda.
So,
or Somalia.
Come January 1st, 1942, 26 representatives from various allied nations met in Washington, D.C. to outline the duties and desires of the about-to-be-formed United Nations. Leading the plan was the U.S., Roosevelt, U.K., Churchill, and USSR Stalin, which are your three Facebook hints this week. No more hints. Although the Declaration of the United Nations would be signed during this meeting, it would be a few years of talks and meetings before anything solid was actually done. So in the interim, the League of Nations stood in place.
And what year is this?
42. So we've got to like 45, the League of Nations still exists, something like that. So now Stalin was in this to help establish a boundary that would make Russia less susceptible to future German invasions. So kind of see Ukraine.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Like literally the same area. Ukraine, Soviet Georgia, those kind of places. Yeah.
I was asking the date to determine, like, you know, because I have in my own head this, you know, a fungible date where it becomes really ridiculous to start, you know, denying that Stalin is a fucking mass murderer.
Yes. Cock-sucking
jackwagon. And this is not it. We're still in the point
where you still think he's reasonable. Yeah.
Where
he's dealing with some hard internal things.
You can be forgiven for thinking.
And he's working at things.
If you're in the United States, you can be forgiven for thinking that Stalin was a reasonable person to deal with at this point. Yeah. At this point.
But only because you're not in a Russian bread line.
Well, because everybody else was in a bread line.
True.
I mean, it's really hard not to, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? They have problems, too.
So that's essentially why Stalin was in it, is to, you know, get some grip and be able to build a safe boundary around Russia. Churchill was really trying to get all of the places under their hold together, even if they were different countries. He was trying to get each one of them in the UN so they could have more pull.
Uh-huh.
And... but they're all part of the UK.
Yeah, if you want me, I have to take my friends.
Again, to talk to Ireland and Wales and Scotland right now. They don't love it.
It's just like any other kickball team. If you want me, you have to take my friends too.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's that kind of deal. So that's what Churchill's in it for. And Roosevelt was trying to police the planet. just to shorthand what he's up to.
Well, because America.
Well, yeah, we are that people. So as World War II finally ends, they were able to finalize their plan for the new United Nations. This is the first of the final meetings, but yes, really is. It was scheduled for D.C. in August, notoriously muggy during that time of year.
Want to be in D.C. in August.
Yes, a few people.
And they don't have air conditioning then.
No, they don't. Yeah,
I don't know how people live back then. I don't.
Not long. Is how they lived.
Long enough for us to come around and invent air conditioning.
Well, they started having kids at like 17, so, you know.
Well, I think the situation...
They do now!
I think the situation is like, you know, Roosevelt sitting there like, you want to talk about problems? The air's not right for you? Seriously? Talk about problems over here?
Well, that's the thing, though, is like a bunch of people were like, we don't want to go to D.C. in August. This is fucked up. No way. We're from reasonable climate areas.
Well, especially Ivan, considering where he's from.
God. But the U.S. held strong and demanded the meeting happen near D.C. A young congressman, Richard Nixon, suggested Dumbarton Oaks, a secluded mansion just northwest of D.C., currently owned by Harvard University, a giant U-shaped table was constructed specifically for this, of oak.
How many times have we put our desks into a U in grade school?
I know. In college.
Like, really?
Yeah.
College, even. They still do that shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It allows for a round forum where everybody can see everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes back to this whole, you know.
I just like being the guy that walks up and down the middle of the U shape.
If I can look you in the eyes, you can't lie to me.
Yeah. If you're
bullshit.
If you're sitting at the U and you're not in 12 step, yeah.
That's supposed to be a circle, isn't it?
It's a U sometimes.
Anyway. So Nixon suggested this Dumbarton Oaks, and they built this giant-ass oak table, custom for this fucking thing. It was built
just to... the Knights of the Round Table all over again.
Yeah,
it's just you built a custom table for your little meeting. It's just
in
so,
this giant fucking mansion northeast of northwest.
It's so, mansions,
I don't know, around DC.
Mansions are a dime a dozen. Remember, they didn't have air conditioning back then. Okay, but like you hired somebody to build your special U-shaped table. I hate these people so much.
It would have been okay if they built it themselves.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
You get FDR out there with a fucking wood plane and, like, you know...
FDR was a whole different kind of mason.
Yeah.
You get FDR, he built it out of stone.
FDR out there shucking a wood plane and, you know, Stalin and Mario Brothers out there with a fucking skill saw. I'm all for the U-shaped table. And he, oh, by the way, here comes the tilt bed, flat bed to do the controlled job.
Churchill's drunkenly backing that in.
Yeah.
Hey, get out the way!
Actually, you know what? These idiots don't even have to build the table to satisfy me. They just have to unload the truck. Just unload the truck. You've got skilled carpenters there. It'll take you a day. Hey, you jack-offs go and unload that truck and then wait a month for these idiots to build this table.
Why don't you go buy the right nails and the right glue? How about that?
None of that happened. There was no shopping list. There was no unloading or movers fees. There was none, like, they just, like... People brought in the shit, and on August 21st, 1944, the meetings actually begin. So that took them, what, like almost a month or so to make the table?
Well, you got to make the fucking table.
Right.
And they didn't have any of the catalyzed finishes back then. There was no polyurethane or any of that kind of shit. They were sitting there with shellac. They got to let it dry, and it's hard when it's muggy
French
and
polishing.
Humid. Muggy and humid, you might get some clouding there. You need some real skill to make that work.
So...
And then you have to have real skill in how to not pay the tradesmen for it.
Yeah, because you know they didn't get paid. Probably a bunch of brothers. Man, they're still
waiting. They're still waiting to get paid.
Yeah.
Today, they're still waiting for that check.
Entirely possible. They did it on terms. So mainly
James Brown got a song about it.
This thing was mainly attended.
The big payback.
You shape table. Fuck you, table.
This was mainly attended by what were now the Big Four instead of the Four Horsemen or whatever they were calling themselves. Still the U.S., the U.K.
Boards.
Yep, still the U.S., the USR, or USSR, the U.K., and China. The meetings lasted until October 7th, 1944. So August, September, October.
Yeah, it started getting too cold.
3 months.
Started getting too cold.
The Russians were probably good with it.
Who the fuck is paying these idiots to meet for 3 months?
Have you looked at Congress?
Do you know the kind of hors d'oeuvres that you get at these events?
Yes!
It's like fucking insane.
Oh, shit.
Yes!
And the booze. Fuck, Churchill was there for the booze alone.
No. Churchill was there with the booze alone.
He had to sample the moonshine.
He figured out what vodka tastes like. Fucking USSR was there. Anyhow, although they got close to an agreement... 3 months, got close to an agreement, there were still disagreements as to how voting and membership would be handled. Again, like the UK with trying to get each of their places as an individual state in representation. Yeah. But they had nailed down the general organization, purpose, and structure, but the final points left them unfinished. They would have to meet again. So the Big Four...
More hors d'oeuvres.
Yes. The Big Four met again for dinner.
Filet mignon.
Yeah.
For dinner in Yalta, Crimean resort city...
Crimean.
What they said, resort city.
Not part of Russia. Not part of Russia. Soon all part of Russia. You got to all Ukraine, the fucking Easter eggs. Kiev with the fucking chicken dish. Yeah, we got all that now.
I'm actually done with the Kiev. That's been a recent change. It's been hard for me to fix that in my vocabulary.
Oh, you have to hang out with Russians. You want to hang out with Russians, you go to New York.
I actually know, I actually know Ukrainian or two. So anyway, more progress was made by figuring out how the USSR republics would be admitted, as well as agreeing on protections for the UK and their holdings.
Oh, wait, so England wants to count all of their colonies as a separate vote, and then the Russians over here want to count all of their little...
Yeah.
States.
Whatever you call those things as a separate vote.
Yeah.
Slaves.
Yeah.
That's what we're working on.
So is FDR holding up our flag saying Georgia gets a vote?
I don't know. It does not appear so. It looked like we were one nation under God.
I don't think
we're under God yet. When did we become under God?
I think FDR brought that up, and Mario Brothers like Georgia is confusing to us. Gotta think about it a bit.
No, you don't. No, if you have to think about it,
Georgia confusing.
They also finally figured out a way to segue from the League of Nations into the United Nations, including a trusteeship.
Nice segue.
To help move the money.
You can pronounce segue. I'm just amazed by that.
Segui.
Segui, yeah.
It's a duck.
It's like a Chinese seafood
dish.
It's a
giant fucking clam.
Yeah.
So,
it looks like a penis. It's an uncircumcised...
Oh, my God.
It's an uncircumcised clam.
Such a train wreck. So, again, this move from League of Nations and the United Nations included a trusteeship to help move the money from one organization to the other, because they got to stay non-profit, right? And so, like, trusteeship's the only way to do it.
This is cheaper veneer than the U-shaped table, man. Seriously? Yeah. Let's fund it. Let's do a trusteeship to move the money over.
Please tell me they... was it Switzerland? Yeah. Nope.
It's a fucking tax dodge.
So this whole thing was called the Yalta Conference. You may have heard of it.
Ah, yeah, where we got fucked.
Quick note on the USSR at this point in time. They were trying to set up some of their occupied states as independent countries in the UN. So, like, trying to play this double-sided. Yeah. This would essentially give them 16 votes in every all-around voting situation. Everyone else, especially the U.S., was kind of like, no, fuck that. Because, Georgia gets a vote. Atlanta gets a vote, right?
With UK, it's the UK was trying to do it as well. It's like, okay, let's let India in because they were, you know, the UK was running India.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, okay, well, fine. How about we just go ahead and do this and we call these territories?
Well, right. But the UK is clearly about to lose India because of the North Atlantic Treaty.
Right, but then there's Hong Kong. Is Hong Kong the same? You know, it's like you go all
even today, Taiwan is an issue, you know.
But, like, it's not like India isn't the same as China at this point. They got the same number of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Same water problems.
Well, it's kind of fucked up because, like, the difference is, like, Indians are actually good people.
Oh, shit. Oh,
they're good. Actually a real country, you know? China, like...
So...
China's crazy. China's crazy,
so,
man.
Moving forward. clearly, this second very long, months-long meeting was not enough. So they had to have another meeting for hors d'oeuvres and cocktails.
That sweet and sour shrimp was really good.
Yeah.
Like, you're coming back a third time, man.
Into it. Yep. The oysters were on fucking point.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Amazing.
The gooey duck and the caviar. Fucking nailing it.
With the caviar. Definitely came in with some nice vodka.
Some good toast points.
Well, I'm sure Mario Brothers brought the
But they're doing this for months. I'm sure we got, like, pasties and gin one night. Like, great.
Shit, I want to go.
Oh. I went someplace completely different with the pasties.
You went to work is where you went.
So did they.
Actually.
Because you know they were bringing those pasties in, too.
Speaking of which, you need to remind me of something.
Oh, fuck. So, another meeting was clearly in order. This time, 50 countries were represented, roughly 50, at the United Nations Conference on International Organization, UNCIO. It's a fucking abbreviation. I don't have to pronounce it correctly, right? This one started on April 25th of 1945 in San Francisco. Yeah.
Really?
Near Berkeley, just so you know.
Really?
Well, it was that or the Castro. So it's either Berkeley or Castro. Take your pick.
Yeah, that's the best we got to give. So.
And they gave.
This meeting lasted.
And somebody took.
This meeting lasted until June 26th. So again, April, May, June.
Those are the best
Another
months
two and a half to 3 months of fucking cocktails and stuff.
Yeah.
Bad month for fucking oysters.
Well, SF at that point was actually a real city. You know, it wasn't like this, like, fucking tent and RV thing going on there now. I don't know what's happening there.
Oh, you mean Eugene?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Actually, you know.
Have you ever going to spend a couple $1 million on fixing the park that we're finally kicking the people out of?
Eugene's actually like, you know, there's some sort of talk that they have to scrape all the topsoil because of shit.
Yeah.
Yes. $2 million.
Last Sunday, the dead person outside my club, I mean, in a tent,
It's a special time that we're living through.
I'm so glad I was happily out of town.
You were not there for discovery of the dead person at your club?
I was in Long Beach, Washington.
That's the first emergency he hasn't been called to.
That's like you jumped up and hit the brick and the mushroom popped out. That's a beautiful thing, man.
It was not only it was
you
like the mushroom
up your
and the coins
this week or something.
The mushroom and the coins.
Ding 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 ding.
I got
ding,
a double.
Ding,
ding. Wow, ding. Dude!
Yeah, it was great.
So no flat cats on your shift. That's fantastic.
So by the end of this last or this third meeting,
this last bullshit.
nine months of meetings we've had so far. By the end of this ninth month, roughly,
Congress gets away with that all the time.
I know. And they take vacations.
That's all Congress is now.
Yeah. Yes, is vacations and excruciatingly long bullshit over nothing that anybody
at least.
Hey, man, I love it when those people are on vacation. Whenever
because
I
it means they're not happens, fucking things up.
I know.
Whenever I see some jack off in Congress got caught in first class comp ticket, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. I hope there was no internet reception and no nothing, and they were deactivated. As long as they're applied with real China and an open bar kind of setup. You know, I love Congress on vacation. Please.
So I could almost get behind this whole 3 month thing. Because it's like, okay, here's a limit to how fucking stupid you can make this. You can't get hors d'oeuvres year round. Okay.
I would love it if most of our political thing was just like, look, there's a certain class of people, we're all gonna vote them in, and they just get to party for 3 months. Every other 3 months and not bother us.
Right.
Not bother us. We will keep them occupied and it's sort of a glorified prison. Just keep them on the hamster wheel and that's what we do.
We supply them with
because
strippers, smokers, and booze.
If you don't do and that caviar. With these people, they will come up with intriguing solutions to our problems
I
that
wanna,
are always very expensive.
I want to see the summer away camp cabin. Has AOC and Marjorie Greene Taylor
as,
in it.
As long as it... As
and
long,
I want that to be a fucking TV series.
And Lorena Bobbitt. And who's that? Who's the fucking bald chick? Elvis Presley? the bald black chick. Like, I got all four of them.
Well, you said bald chick, and I was thinking Britney Spears.
Can we resurrect that dumb bitch that bashed the girl in the knee with the... over ice skating?
Oh.
Tawny Harding? Yeah. Get her in on this.
Oh, my God. You justified my
trademark,
Netflix special.
Trademark.
Oh, my God.
As long as all the doors lock from the inside,
no,
too.
No. No, we got the three Congress idiots sitting in the cabin having their little fancy-schmancy hors d'oeuvres.
And then much like a drag show, we introduce
Tanya. Tanya is Jason at the camp. Tanya's Jason in the ski mask.
She can ice skate, so
yeah.
It fits.
She actually has a skill. She actually has a real skill. You pose for Playboy, can skate, can whack people with a little tire iron thing, or at least hire people to do it for her. She's a fucking beautiful person. You know, at least
she
Tanya.
She comes like a good Barbie with two thugs.
At least Tanya got something really done. She could really skate and really get people whacked better than these other schmucks.
Then that's how you do it. You put Tanya Harding in there, and it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to fucking knee you. If you guys don't fucking figure it out here, you got one day.
That's my new t-shirt, Tanya.
Our hors d'oeuvre time just got cut down severely.
It's my new t-shirt, Tanya Harding to lead the UN.
I'm going to kneecap you if you don't fucking come up with a solution in 1 hour.
So
I'm going to do it by random.
Jeez, I can't read.
You knew it going into this topic.
I knew it. I knew it when I even laid it to John as an option. I gave him three options, and he chose this one.
Oh, Jesus
And he
Christ.
Literally said, this will get Rupert's goat.
That's because John wanted a wake-up call.
My iPad is going to sleep. We've been gone so long. Yeah. All right, so so after this last meeting, they had finally established a groundwork for founding the UN. And the switch from the League of Nations to the UN. In total, there were 9 countries from Europe, 21 from the Americas, 7 from the Middle East, 2 from East Asia, 3 from Africa, 5 from the British Commonwealth, and 1 each from Ukraine and Belarus.
How the fuck do you get that?
I don't know.
two from the Far East. How did the two from the Far East put up with a fucking 21 from the Americas?
I don't know.
What do we got here? The U.S. and Canada, and then what? We're going into Uruguay kind of bullshit?
It's the Americas, North and South.
I will modify that by saying that, like, at this time, in South America, it is... I forget the exact date, but
Argentina... They're accepting Germans into Argentina.
Argentina, I think, at this time, actually had an economy bigger than that of France.
Yeah.
There were real countries down there. So, my bad. I don't know how you get to 21 without including some of the metric countries.
Because the USSR and the U.S. both had vested interests in all of the Americas. So, they were pushing... Because the USSR, Cuba, things like that, so that they could get locked in.
Communist hold, yeah.
Yeah.
The USSR didn't have Cuba.
But they were they had a vested interest in seeing that.
I think that what we had is a little bit of something a special flavor we used to call Monroe Doctrine. Kind of a little bit cheesy with a bit of French fry. But I think that's what was going on was we were saying... Throw in these joker countries from South America, Argentina accepted, maybe Chile. Throw in these countries because we essentially control them. And that's what we were doing. They were our provinces through Monroe Doctrine.
Well, that's what Britain was doing with India and stuff, like John brought up earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Britain and India was a little more explicit.
We got one from Ukraine and Belarus. And just a final note, Poland was not actually at the conference, but they were admitted into the UN. So
Poland, there's a country that gets fucked over.
All the time.
Jesus Christ.
There's a reason they make jokes about Poland.
But they have great sausage.
They do.
Poland is fucking, you know. I mean, because we went into World War II because Poland wasn't free, and we got out of World War II with Poland not free.
Yes.
You know, I mean, those guys just get hammered, which is why.
They also kind of, like, have a welcome mat at the borders.
Well, it's
especially
because
during that time.
It's because
they come
like,
on in. Not they got problem.
They're right in a good space, which is why you know they have such good cooking. you can't have good cooking unless you're invaded a lot, which is why you don't see any Icelandic restaurants.
And they know how to do it with three ingredients.
Trust me, folks. I know on this one.
there is no restaurant in this town called Reykjavik.
No, there isn't. If you want good cooking, get invaded a lot.
If we just insulted our probably only Icelandic listener, I apologize. But going on. As the war came to a close...
I'll open up a club called Ragnarok. How about that?
As the war came to a close, a total of 51 nations had representatives ratify the United Nations Charter. It was finally official. After 3 years of scheming, the final goals established were... Maintain international peace and security. Develop friendly relationships among nations. Achieve international cooperation in solving international problems. And be a center for harmonizing the actions and nations in the attainment of these common ends.
Go ahead. Try to do that. Do that last bit one more time without fucking laughing. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
This is like so My Little...
Because it so clearly worked.
This is so My Little Pony, it's ridiculous.
That worked better. It had a better... My Little Pony has a better market share than the UN, okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
But for those of you who are uneducated in the ways of the world, 3 years is not at all a long time to work on a good parking scheme in Manhattan. It really isn't. That's like...
Or
that's
a building like, permit, even.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I did not even get into.
Exactly.
Like, you can't get people to pour fucking cement in 3 years.
Couldn't even. Not without the mob.
Nope.
So
how much did the mob make?
I think New York is...
Hoffa is under the UN.
I think New York is...
That's the answer.
I think New York is the only locale, maybe, certainly in the U.S., but maybe the planet... where the city government established a cement plant specifically to avoid... They said, we are establishing this cement plant because the mob cement prices are too expensive and The city's cement prices were more expensive than the mob's. I think it's the only place where it's ever happened.
No, that's standard governmental operation.
Well, New York does it best.
So
top shelf.
The UN, in its new shell, was composed of a number of differing bodies, each with their own focus. These were the General Assembly, which is in charge of basic policy making.
The GA. The GA.
Yeah.
The Special Assembly.
Every participating country has a representative in this group, with the exception of China, but we'll get into that. And next, the Security Council, which is comprised of 15 members. They assess threats to peace and security of the countries of the UN.
They usually have the biggest guns.
There's only 15 of them, so yeah.
They usually have the biggest guns.
But the Security
Council... And they're all fucking bought by us.
Made, purchased, paid for.
But
I think that the security hors d'oeuvres have 5 permanent members. So they always get the sweet and sour shrimp, right?
So, yeah, the Security Council.
And the 15. Special Peking duck.
15 yeah. and the...
Giant rabbit, too.
The Economic and Social Council, which does exactly what the name implies.
The slush fund.
In addition to helping environmental and ecological issues.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So
have the money people in charge of the ecology.
The bribery council. The bribery council, yep.
We get to dictate what is a problem and how the money gets spent to fix it.
You're going to solo the next one. Next one is called the Trustee Council, which was eventually dropped, like officially dropped, but
no shit,
kind of unofficially exists. They oversaw the territories that were represented by their governing country. So each of these territories the eventually slave gained states. Independence, and yeah. the committee was
Georgia,
not only,
India, yeah. Belarus,
Guam.
But it still occasionally meets for. Fucked if I know what reason.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes you let the special kids in kindergarten get together that don't have any friends? You let them get together and run
Give
the class.
Them a big rubber ball,
and well, they get to run PE for that day.
So the next one,
and it usually has to do with that big thing that everybody sits around. They do this with, and you have to run underneath.
The Internal Court of
You're
Justice
making a jerking off motion, John.
The Internal Court of Justice is the next part. Basically, they are the court of the organization. They
you
oversee
have to wear a cape.
They over
That's and 1958 a wig. With DC Comics.
They oversee legal disputes and international law. And then we have the Secretariat, which carries out the daily question or operations of the UN and is made up of thousands of staffers.
Yeah. So it's the staff. This is actually the people pool. Only doing yeah. any work at all.
Yes.
And it's dealing with all of the paperwork bullshit that these people generate.
Yeah, the secretary is the people who don't get hors d'oeuvres.
But they're the ones that are processing the invoices for them.
But the secretary is 2.5 furlongs long. Wow, that was a real... Real crotchety reference there.
So, because each country has to be admitted into the club by the existing members, by 1950, only 9 of the 31 states, a.k.a. newly recognized countries, that had applied had been admitted. And in 1955, they made a package deal, so kind of like a buy at a warehouse or something.
Well, that's when we have a whole bunch of newly founded countries popping up
because
colonialism is sort of going by the wayside because it's a bit of a losing
game. Yeah, India is no longer part of, you know.
Yeah, so this package deal admits 16 new, quote, states. 4 of them were Eastern European states, and 12 of them were countries that were not commie. So, like, you got to keep a little balance, throw a little commie into the mix. By 1960, it was...
Everybody needs some goth in their life.
By 1960, it was realized that the Eastern and Western countries did not look at things through both eyes now. So they split up.
Did you get Judy Collins on us?
I did. I'm glad you caught that. I totally did.
You put effort into that.
See the world with both eyes now.
You put it.
It's like I think I'm blaming it on the title random play.
You painted that fishing lure with care, and you would have been very angry if somebody hadn't taken a bite. And I took a bite.
Thank you.
And so
I'm validated.
Are you swimming away though?
You see how I'm?
No, nope, you're still on the line.
See, I'm supporting you. Like, even though there's hatred, there's a mutual hand job. That's great. Fantastic.
So who's reaching who around?
So who's going
between the legs and who's
sometimes
reaching?
Sometimes it's just sitting on the couch watching sports,
if you
don't watch sports.
I had a moment. Let me finish.
Or you don't even know where to find ESPN.
He watches NASCAR. A Queen concert. Daytona 500. Hey, man, that's a fucking crazy-ass crash,
go fast.
Man.
Turn left.
Did anybody see that crazy ass crash in the Daytona 500? I realize I'm getting into
so anyhow.
Some of them might.
This whole realizing that the Eastern and Western countries weren't seeing things together resulted in the Sharks and Jets kind of system. Do-do-do-do. Where I told you it gets worse. Where the Eastern countries were voting against Western countries, the admission of some Middle Eastern countries also came into play, mainly because of oil rights. This caused some kind of degenerate pratfall bullshit stuff. But you will see,
you will see USSR being at odds with them for territory.
There was
more than just economic; it was political as well.
Yeah, I mean that shit is still going on today.
But that shit's been going on for 1,000 years.
See Ukraine. We buy oil from Russia.
If in doubt, just at any point in time today, just go ahead and say, see Ukraine.
So there was a notable issue with the admittance of China. Remember, they were one of the OGs. Apparently, the UN had a difficult time with the Republic of China as opposed to Taiwan, or ROC, Republic of China. It is hard for me to understand, but the distinction caused actual China to not be admitted into the boys' club until 1971, even though they were at the first meetings in 1941 or something.
Because
so 30 years later,
because ROC and
China finally actually gets in.
You're out of time, out of place on this.
ROC, I might be. Like I said, it was hard.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're of a certain age where you can't get it.
But that's fair too. I'm just saying
you don't really understand the interplay of.
I don't get how China one of the original four horsemen of the apocalypse is not part of the riding troop.
Yeah.
Because a fully included China was okay. Because maybe Taiwan was a tempering factor. Maybe. Who
possible.
Knows?
There's
food for thought for you there.
I admittedly don't get it all. So,
it's a different thing, and it's not something you can get unless you lived contemporaneously with what was going on with that.
So since then,
see Ed Harris documentary on this.
Since then, the UN has grown to 193 member states. Countries are colonies. Also, which, yes, we still use
members.
That word. Member states, but there are countries and colonies.
That's because they're a state.
So some of this is
it is
due,
a state of membership.
Some of this
by
is
Georgia.
They have accomplished a member state. A state of membership.
So some of this
That's
is
the only way I can justify it.
We've been on a midnight train. We're going to drag out this last sentence. Oh, I thought you were done.
No, I got a whole extra topic
I saw the blues part.
No, I got like this whole.
All right, I'll try and shut up now, Daddy.
So,
some of this. If bought one of the small iPads, we'd be fucked.
Some of this is due to decolonization, the establishment of new countries. Think of the breakup of Russia, as mentioned. Korea ended up getting
British
admitted
Empire.
Somehow.
What? Yeah.
Korea ended up getting admitted somehow, and things like Ireland and Scotland being recognized as a little bit more than just a slice of the British Empire. That's
been part of the
growth.
Oh, you want to go there?
No, that's just been part of the growth. I know it's your heritage.
You want to go there?
Do you feel downtrodden?
I do. I do. I think that, like, the cognizance within the U.S. Republic of the fact that the outlying territories, oh, they were just all England. It's like, no, that's not true. Might You've got bit. A bunch of, like, jack-offs sitting there on a fucking island. And like,
starving because they can't have potatoes because they're all exported.
It's the only time that the South won, where these idiots conglomerate Scotland, which was a whole separate country. It had nothing to do with it. And it's just like, oh, we got this. And then they're like, oh, let's take a little left turn there and inculcate Wales into our whole thing. And then while we're at it, let's take a ferry across the Mersey with Jerry and the Pacemakers and go over there and get Ireland and everything. And it's like, all we got out of it was a stupid drumbeat.
Well,
you know,
what do you think?
A lot of references there.
Yes. I don't know which one to comment on.
It's like a reference abacus.
I'm going to start with every Welsh person I've met is kind of ugly beautiful. B, Jerry and the Pacemakers, really?
Ferry across the Mersey.
All right, go ahead.
The Mersey B.
John, you had...
I don't even know if it's worth it.
It was a lot, wasn't it?
I was just going to say, you know, it's... When they start losing everything that's so far down, like they're not taking trips to South Africa as much, they're not taking trips to India as much because it's like, hey, you know what? This is not our sphere of influence any longer.
Right.
However, this fucking person's right next door.
Well, I mean,
I can make it to Wales for 2 o'clock.
What they haven't thought about is we've been fighting these fuckers for the last 1,500 years. And we won against these people halfway around the world.
I mean, you're into my people now. And the thing that, like, I don't really like about this entire thing is everybody recognizes the Peloponnesian War as the moving from an Athenian society to a Hellenic society in Greece. And it's like, we got all these little islands and all this sort of shit, and we're just calling ourselves all Greece.
Greece is an island.
No, it's a whole conglomerate. But then when you get over into the United Kingdom, all of a sudden it's like, oh, all these people were all jolly good together, and like everybody got along, and they didn't.
It was easy to
they didn't. They didn't.
All right. So do note that even today, this
there's scotch and there's whiskey. I will
fight you.
There's scotch and there's whiskey.
I will face paint fight you.
So do note that even today,
he does have a kilt.
Lots of them. Lots of them. I think I have three. I don't know.
I don't think three is a lot.
None in leather. Just saying.
That's your own shortcoming. Anyway, so note that even today, the whole UN operates a little bit like a Little Rascals episode. And that any new member has to be recommended by a current member, plead their case, and then pass muster with all those in the voting group, which is also not all the members. So, like, that's kind of roughly how it still works today. It is literally like getting into the fucking Little Rascals playoffs.
The He-Man Woman is there.
Yes. Club. Yeah. It's a disaster. So, during the tenure of the UN, it has been it has accomplished a fair amount of good. This list was taken directly from history.com. So, providing food to 90 million people in over 75 countries, assisting more than 34 million refugees, authorizing 71 international peacekeeping missions, working with 140 nations to minimize climate change, assisting about 50 countries per year with their elections. Wink, wink. Wink, wink. Providing vaccinations for 58% of children in the world. Helping with 30 million women a year with maternal health efforts. And protecting human rights.
I got two kids.
With 80 treaties and
up.
Declarations. So that's directly from history.com.
What year?
As of roughly now.
Okay, so 7.75 billion people. 7.75 billion people. And we're talking about
millions.
120 million.
Yeah, we're moving a couple
even,
of zeros. Yeah.
This isn't even a drop in the proverbial bucket.
Agreed.
This is somebody stroking their fucking ego while they eat caviar.
Well, if it helps one child, John.
I would rather give my money to Sarah McLachlan and help a dog.
Just the cost of one cup of coffee a day, man.
Helps the dog.
I'd rather hang out with Lorena Bobbitt and have a drink.
So that, as we know, is not all they have done. This is a litany of shit that they did that has not been beneficial. They have been...
This is going to be a long list.
Well, no, it's actually pretty short.
No, we're done. You see this? This whole blank space.
I'm right here, though.
I know.
They have reached into healthcare, criminal justice, refugee issues, environmental issues, and even the damn fucking oil trade. They got their hands in everything that provides more hors d'oeuvres.
And they're getting the skim.
Yeah. They're totally doing the skim. And, there's no denying it. It is a very, very governmentally organized mob.
That's why Bitcoin's going to work. Because it's going to get around this shit.
Decentralize these motherfuckers,
yeah,
right?
Decentralize this shit.
The only way I would work in politics is if I could be a UN ambassador. In the UN.
It's crazy.
You know what, John?
I know lots of what's. Which what are you referring to?
John? If you get to be a UN ambassador, I will fully be your lackey.
I'll suck your cock.
You know, at parties, it sounds like the parties, I could bring you to suck his cock. I could bring you to suck my lackey's cock.
We will be in houses that have rooms the size of my whole house. It'll be awesome.
I will be provided.
We can have a U-shaped table built out of oak.
You know what? If you suck cock, it's kind of salty. It tastes like Stalin brought the caviar. Go on. Jesus, it's really not that bad. Just do it.
Available at
Beluvian cock.
Belugan.
Thank you.
I always met straight men who said they would never suck a cock, but every straight man I've ever met has said they wanted to suck their own cock.
The hell are you talking about?
That's
all weird.
You
gotta have a couple of ribs removed, so let's go ahead.
No,
all right, so this is shit that's up.
Every straight guy's, I don't know.
This is the point where we get to have just discussion. Because I wrote enough.
So we become the UN.
We're just having discussion now.
We become the UN.
Yeah, we got a couple of months.
Can we have a U-shaped table, or is it all this like...
I didn't buy oysters, and you got us to the
old
50s retro
Formica thing, not custom
built. It's
not shitty,
it's straight
up. So that means
retro.
We can actually get something accomplished.
It does.
If we're around your dinner table, that means we have a really, really good time. If we're around a shitty Formica table...
It's the conference of all
It's baldness. Not It's not shitty. It's actual vintage. Anyway.
Buff it up. Come on. Put a shine on this.
So,
thing.
Arguably, the UN does
Come
have
on.
A place.
There's something so sticky over here. I don't know what it is.
I know.
I'm not responsible.
On this.
Y'all sit on that side. It's your spooge, not mine.
This is the jizziest
You come in here
ever.
And you jerk
I
off.
I bought it from a lesbian.
Oh, that makes it better.
That's why it's brown.
Oh, that's good.
So,
that's
anyway.
That's good.
The UN.
Wait, the whole set? The whole Donette set?
I bought it all at once, yeah.
We're sitting on, like, Lesbos? Really?
That's why it's uncomfortable.
I'm so much happier to be here.
That's why the chairs are so uncomfortable.
I hope she was extremely unattractive, had a mullet, and drove a Trans Am.
She was kind of hot. She totally had a mullet, though.
What the fuck is...
That was one of the identifying factors.
She was your
Trans Am?
She was your
hot.
No,
Honda.
She was your hot. That's not hot.
You jerked off when you got home.
Yeah.
On this table. Well, That's why it's sticky.
More to the table. But anyway. Discussion points. The UN does have a place. But if that place is what they set out for, no more war, then it is not where they are. It is arguable that without the UN, the Middle East war, which I brought up, the Cold War, which I brought up, but the Middle East war also... may not have ever happened. And what about Putin and all his rage in the Ukraine right now? What would happen without the UN recognizing Ukraine as a nation in the first place? Like, are they making more war? What? Okay. Pull the bus over.
Oh.
So, yeah. Like, did the UN, by recognizing Ukraine as an actual country, cause the issue we have right now? With Ukraine and Russia. Did the UN achieve what they wanted to do by preventing war? Not really, because the Middle East has been at war for 30 years. Well.
Well, okay.
A lot more than 30 years, but 30 years.
Okay, just know. To play the devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
The way that I would have to look at it was, yes, there's always going to be war. Men have fought, countries have fought wars since the dawn of time. Well, they're for goods, resources.
Feasible, yeah.
Their goods, resources, and services are fought.
Money?
Wars are fought for that reason. And has the UN, I think the better question there is, has the UN been able to avoid more war? Because war is always going to happen. Fighting is always going to happen. It's going to happen. Has the UN been able to temper things in such a way that it's been, we've only had a couple of atomic bombs
dropped.
All right,
so it's interesting you use the word temper, because I'll refer back to the Cold War, which quite probably could have been caused by the UN.
Did that successfully keep another bomb from dropping? Was
other than those couple they accidentally dropped in Georgia or wherever, yeah.
Was the threat...
American Georgia.
Was the threat of annihilation enough to keep everybody scared? Was that an effective policy? The threat of mutual annihilation.
Yeah, but
again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. But
agreed.
Is this not
and so? Like, are scare tactics an acceptable way of ruling a planet?
Have you raised a child?
Fair. Totally 100% fair, because yes, I have. And scare tactics fucking work.
So
not all the time, though. Like, sometimes, right, like, somebody
calls
you.
Exactly. Somebody calls your bluff and you start a war, okay?
Or they go over 100 miles an hour in their little car that shouldn't, yeah.
But eventually, that is not, they go 100 miles an hour in that car, but they didn't totally wreck it into a police fucking cruiser.
Or find one on their 100 mile an hour journey, yes.
There you go. Unlike me.
Yeah, or me.
So I don't know if it's actually, if they succeeded in their goal as much as they stumbled in, if they Peter principled it.
It's totally Peter principle, man. Yeah. They achieved the highest level of incompetence where they can only do like hors d'oeuvres and martinis, and that's all they can do. And that's why he won a UN job.
Fuck yeah. But you know what? I'll take you with me, just like MC Hammer.
Oh, fuck yeah, I can be part of your posse?
Goddamn right! You gotta wear baggy pants, though.
Nope. Shit's right out.
And high tops.
I won't even do...
And a tank.
Nope.
Baggy not pants, even, high tops, and a tank top.
Not even for unlimited caviar oysters and fucking champagne. No. Uh-uh. Not in. I'm not dressing like that fucking fool.
How about all the sewing machines you can use?
I can use one at a time.
Yeah, but you can have a new one every day of the week.
I don't know that you understand the bet that we're on. Rupert, what do you have to say? Did the UN achieve their goal of fewer wars and shit?
I think you can't determine whether or not the UN achieved their goals as fewer wars. I think that you can determine that this aspect of fewer wars is really a bad idea. I really disagree with this idea that peace is always better than war. I think that's like really a bad
conflict
thing.
Conflict. It's very primate of you.
If you wanted peace... well, let Hitler take over Europe. He was quite clearly far more adept at it than anybody else in Europe that was hanging around at the time. He took a nation bankrupt and broken and brought them through their technological superiority to within an inch of world domination. So, if you want peace, go with that.
You're just trying to stroke the fucking dicks of the two Germans at the table.
I think that peace is a really bad thing. It is never encountered in any scientific endeavor, and I say this as somebody educated in the sciences.
It's true. There, most I say most interactions outside of humans are not peaceful.
Okay, can I ask a question here? Are you talking about peace or are you talking about antagonism?
I don't think that Hitler was antagonistic. I think that he was war. He was like, he just wanted war.
So putting it back in the context of the UN here, wasn't the Cold War a set of antagonistic behaviors that are designed to build countries?
I don't think that you build countries out of peace.
If you exactly.
If you want peace in the Middle East...
No, fences are built because there's strife.
If you want peace in the Middle East, hands off, and here come the Arabs, and they kill off all the Jews. Sounds really good. You would have
peace. Oh, my God.
You would have peace. Does that sound like a good idea to you? Given that the number of Nobel Prizes won by Jewish scientists, the industrialization, all of that by the Jewish people has been phenomenal compared to the religious oppression of the Muslim world. You want to allow that? Because they could certainly annihilate them.
For reference, because I used it as part of my intro, the UN has, like, I think it's 7, maybe 12 Nobel Peace Prizes. The UN has won Nobel Peace Prizes.
I think
it baffles me.
I don't get it. I think
that
Israeli scientists have Nobel Prizes numbering in the hundreds.
Yes, that would be better to me.
I think that Arab scientists have Nobel Prizes numbering in the tens. And you cannot put this off to racism because the number of Arab countries represented are quite substantially more than the one country of Israel. So you can't put that off to racism. The fact is that sometimes ideologies need to be defeated, and they need to be defeated through war. And I'm quite comfortable with that. I have no problem with that. I really don't.
The UN was designed to have a problem with that and has not had a problem with that. And that's part of the question we're at.
Where does conflict, strife, antagonism, where do all of these lines?
Neville Chamberlain ordered
because I think we can all I think we can all agree that, you know, mass murder is a bad thing.
Right. So have peace with the Khmer Rouge. The UN did it forever, up until the 90s. Pol Pot was on their payroll, not ours, but sort of ours.
Somewhat stupid side tangent here, but there is a Prime special that deals with, like, the 8 greatest fucking fuck-ups of all time. Hitler,
working with Papa Khmer Doc, Rouge.
Papa Doc.
I've thrown Papa Doc out a lot.
He is not, oddly.
I think there's
Pol Pot isn't on that list. What? Of the 8 that I watched,
biggest
he wasn't there.
Yeah. Pol Pot is not on that list?
He wasn't there. Whew. Yeah.
All right.
And so I have a whole new respect for Pol Pot because of this man.
I remember in the time, you know, we have Vietnam, then we have the Khmer genocide. Mm-hmm. Research it if you're listening to this on some sort of YouTube thing.
We did an episode, yeah. Drink.
And the Khmer Rouge falls in, I think, 78 or 79, somewhere around there. And the UN kept him on the payroll, literally following a line in a Dead Kennedy song, because they get things done. I thought this was a bad idea. You would have thought that this would have been quite apparent to anybody. Because the Nazis clearly got things done. Nobody can say the Nazis didn't get things done. It was just how they went about getting this shit done. It wasn't that good.
Rouge.
And the Khmer Rouge follow the same pattern where they, you know, now you can dress in black where they get things done.
This is tilting the statistics.
No, and he brought Jell-O into the
this
game.
This is tilting the stats, man.
And the fact that the UN went with this.
Like citing GWAR. For political references.
The fact that the UN went with this went to a little bit of a Justin Trudeauism, where
who doesn't know where the cordovan goes?
These jack-offs who admire totalitarian regimes because they can get things done is the downfall of humanity.
Well, yeah, because... A giant community or culture that can get things done generally relies on slave culture. The Egyptians got shit done. The Mayans got shit done.
The Mayans, the Incas, people, the fucking British, got things done.
It's going to seem a little...
All you did was stand up rocks.
It's one of the reasons that people don't like capitalism. There is a ruthless abandon to what is just a number. Bear with me here just for a second. It's a ruthless abandon to what actually exists as what is success, what are the numbers here. Okay, and if you detach yourself from the emotional aspect of it and say, hey, you know what, if we have to kill off a million people in order to achieve this, is it greater, is it for the greater good? Have we accomplished the greater
good?
This
gets back to the hamster wheel.
So it's capitalism. It's everything else on paper.
This gets back to the hamster wheel, where your biggest threat is...
idle hands.
Your local threat is idle hands. John encounters idle hands at his strip club with the fucking bouncers and the dopey jack-offs.
Everybody has it at their job,
and this kind of thing. And I've got my stuff, and I have elucidated this to you endlessly, where it's like the local jack-off who wants to solve their local problem. That's one thing. The real threat is the person who thinks that they can organize human behavior and get things done.
The UN.
That is always the real threat, where it is the mass thing of, and I wish we would recognize this globally or societally in a more local reference, where the person who says, let's get things done, is the person you should be most afeared of. Justin Trudeau being the current example. It's a really bad idea because you have put your trust into one person or one small group of people, and we have massive evidence that they can get a pyramid built, but not much beyond that, because it's all like turns into like this slave labor
that'll work
thing.
In a neighborhood, but not in a city state.
Yeah. Well,
so this
and so you want conflict. The last thing you want is peace, and I think that peace is a horrible thing to ascend.
Well, all right, so this leads a little bit in my next discussion topic. I only wrote down three, so this is the second one. Another thing the UN has done is limit the ability a culture has to live by their own rules. Governed heavily by the U.S. and Western countries, which means that they govern over cultural standards they do not understand.
Okay, who doesn't do that?
Well,
that's been conquest, and that's been everything since the dawn of mankind.
Is this a further form of colonialization, or whatever? Requiring the Middle Eastern nations to live under our rules.
It falls right back into what Rupert was just saying. There was conquest. It falls right back into what Rupert was just saying with conquest.
Like I said, it was a nice segue.
It's just, it's really that easy. It's one person's desire, or one nation's desire, to fucking lay that dick down on the table and say, hey, you know what, mine's bigger, and I'm right. And I know I'm right because I have bigger guns, and I have moral superiority.
But
and I have the guns to back it up.
Is it right that the United Nations limits that?
Does it
for people?
Does it matter if that's what they believe?
The United Nations doesn't understand it.
That's part of the problem, is that they have no idea. Like, it's heavily Western-driven organization. And so when you approach an Eastern society, China, for example, or the Middle East, or whatever.
Any of the Far East.
It's just so different from our culture that we're trying to make them live under our rules, our cultural rules.
And you're
stretching, I know.
You're dancing on something that's really profound.
Combination of the two. Yeah. Both are right. Both of you are right. I think it's this thing where you've got big man who can't acquiesce when it's appropriate. And by that I mean...
leave that open if you would.
By that I mean... Thank you. The three idiots, us people here, have a mutually understood but non-explicitly acknowledged understanding where, I showed up today, and I was like, hey, here's some bread. I baked this. It came out of the oven at 9 o'clock. I honestly don't know.
I told him, 9 o'clock last night, not even a day old.
I honestly don't know if this bread is good. Maybe, I don't know, whatever.
Let's just stop there and say it's good.
And, there's this understanding where the things that I know in my own... I'm sorry, John, I'm just going to relate this to me and Tyler. The things that I know...
I'm just being left out.
Ouch.
But the things that I know are mutually understood as being superior, and the things that Tyler knows are mutually understood as being superior. In other words...
Not every dude can fix a sewing machine.
Tyler would never come to me for advice about a sewing machine or a car.
Right.
You're vastly more competent at fixing a sewing machine or a car. But in terms of higher level cooking or
what John wants, like, can you make a bully bar and help me weld?
Or welding.
That's what John calls you for.
You would come to me, and mm-hmm. it's just like this mutual acquiescence. Where
I don't single me out there. I think that's a trait that all people have.
Yeah, I would modify it. Where I think that I was.
Everybody has
wrong there. This is
why societies in The Walking Dead existed, is because you got a welder, you got a fermenter, you got a food grower, you gotta.
Yeah.
But we each have our spheres of influence mm-hmm. where we understand that we are better than the other two. Right? And it's it's not a bad...
I like feeling better than you.
It's not a... I can feel better than you on my things, and you can feel better than me on your
things. It's okay to feel better. It's not okay to actually...
The problem is all of our stuff, where the three of us each have our own specialties, where it's mutually acknowledged, if not explicitly, tacitly acknowledged that we're better at these things. The thing that could fuck it up is somebody trying to make it all peaceful and make it all even.
Yeah.
And that would be a bad thing because it wouldn't work out.
This is another fantastic segue into my last talking point, or discussion point, if you will. Should globalization be pushed as hard as the UN pushes it?
Because Heinlein said specialization is for insects. Skills, we're humans.
Yes. In focusing on our individual skills or cultural skills or whatever, should Americans can build a really good big motor for a vehicle. We're good at that.
Build a pretty good tiny one, too.
Japanese got us on that. But
it doesn't go fast.
This is what I'm saying. It's like the UN pushes for a globalization kind of situation where we all get to make the same stuff. And I don't know that acknowledges our individual skills, much like Rupert was just talking about, as cultures. Is that cool that they do that? What do you think?
I think globalization is a code word for let's enslave these people. I think that's what that means.
If you really want the UN to work, replace them with ambassadors and politicians with cooks and chefs. So all of the chefs and all of the cooks from all of these countries, they get together and they cook dinners for the masses.
I would like...
Welcome to San Francisco, UN.
Little curry with your coriander.
Welcome to UN San Francisco. Welcome to UN Portland. Welcome to UN Eugene. Here is the way that things work in other countries. Here's the food. Maybe we can talk about other things now. And give them to people. Replace them with chefs. I like that.
I think globalization is a cancer foisted upon us by people who have no concept whatsoever of manual labor and the pride within it. I would like to see one advocate of a globalization maneuver who could tape drywall,
cut celery,
tile, cut celery,
serve the caviar.
I have been there.
Fuck caviar, celery, dude. Buck a stick or less.
I have been there, and I resent people who think that globalization and everybody's the same and everybody's got interchangeable skills is like some cool thing. I think it's a really bad
thing. We're not
thing.
Mr. Potato Head.
I think
you
it's
can't
a really
just
bad
like
thing.
Interchange the pieces and parts and knowledge and such. You just can't.
If it devalues craftsmanship and craftsmanship.
Oh, the dog's barking. It's fine.
Craftsmanship is my life, and it devalues craftsmanship. It takes the idea that the some guy in India making a set of drums is interchangeable with some guy in Italy who can lay marble, and I really resent that. It's getting it
down.
Yeah,
just because you can build a timbali does not mean you can build a shower.
If you want to lay marble, you get an Italian guy who has a history behind it. He has pride in it.
Okay.
He has all of these kinds of things. If you want a bagpipe player, I don't think that you go to the Gobi Desert. And I resent this attitude that cultural... craftsmanship.
That there should be some idiot next to a saguaro cactus flying a bagpipe.
Because it is devaluing it. It is devaluing it. You're the same guy as that guy in a strip club who says any pussy will do.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, all you right. Don't need to bring it back there.
Enter John.
All right. So here's one thing I can tell you that has actually helped
if
craftsmanship.
If you disagree with me, I will punch
Here's one thing that has helped craftsmanship. Is because the way that our economy has shifted, it's more of a service economy that deals with electronics and ones and zeros. So the person that is able to build a fucking table the right way is able to command a higher price for his talent. Those that can't do it, that do it as a hobby, they get left by the wayside and they don't get to participate in that market. They better be able to do something different because they can't hang with the big dog.
Well,
you're getting into a very different
enter
thing.
The step up game. Anyway, all right, so let's wrap up, maybe.
What I need another statement. You're getting into a very different thing here because
if you need a moment too, John. I was looking at that too.
It is very difficult for the craft. If you've got a craftsman. Who is not dependent upon it for their livelihood. The best woodworkers are all amateurs. They are not professional woodworkers. Anybody who is a professional woodworker
will tell you that. Defined artisan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ding.
So, that's my only statement on that. Like, it's not like if you can make money on it, you're the best. It's just like, no, it's a different thing.
You're able to command the best price.
I can't express it here in the time given, and my daughter's emailing me.
All right, so the UN, it's a rodeo clown circus of bamboozling characters that are doing essentially nothing other than having hors d'oeuvres. I don't think they've made anything better. I don't think they've made anything particularly worse either. But it's questionable about how their presence has made culture what it is right now and their influence on culture. And I'm not a fan of that either. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not a big fan of the UN.
Ditto. Really not a big fan of the UN. They're kind of like the Apple Dumpling Gang, but the Apple Dumpling Gang actually won at the end. And they came out with some good conclusions. I don't know that – well, honestly, it's just like every other thing. It's good on paper. It's really good on paper. But in practice, all of the things that make it flawed are horribly flawed, and they're extreme. But we don't have a better solution, and we're not going to get a better solution. And for the time being, what we'll do is continue to tweak and critique and continue arguments like that we have now in order to try to make it better, because that's our job. That's what we do. And your cigarette's still not lit.
Winning Rupert. All day long.
I hate the UN and the idea that we can have I mean, it's endless. There are endless reasons to hate the UN. The idea that we can have Iran on the Human Rights Council.
Oh fuck!
All of these kind. I just can't.
We waterboard people. It's fine.
I just can't do the UN. I think they're just like bad. I just am not into them.
We should video
the UN is the pretty girl at the party with a bunch of fucked up relationships in the past that will never get better. And I think at some point you have to just say she's the pretty girl that
and you don't want to date her.
Very foxy, but everybody advises you against dating her. Yes, I think that's it.
I know the girl you're speaking of.
I wasn't really speaking to anybody in particular, but yes, now I know who you're speaking of. And yeah,